they were, I think we waited for one of them to go over and they were very, very, very slow. And I was like, I'm not standing here for half an hour. Excuse me, could you please let us through? We're on the run and we're on the time pressure. Thanks. And then took off and left Casey to explain to them what we were up to.
Kia ora tato, that was Ellie Arnst. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
This is Dirt Church Radio, interesting conversations with interesting runners.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm sniffing your shoe.
What?
Well, when I disappeared into your cupboard before and you're like, yeah, you're right there, bro, because it was a bit weird. I was getting and retrieving a pair or one of your new, you're right, Scott Kinabalu 2. Unused, I might add, so it's still got that good new shoe
we
smell.
We should clarify that.
Yeah, we should clarify that. It's a bit weird if it was used, but I'm holding this thing in my hand right now and it is literally a thing of beauty.
It is. It's beautiful. It's
moving away from the black and yellow.
Yeah.
It's got some taupe.
We can retire that theme song.
It's got some grey. It's got a bit of white and red. And I can tell you, from banging about in the shoe.
Looks fast.
It does. It looks fast. And I can tell you, banging about in this shoe over Hill and Dale over the last week, it's absolutely fantastic. Grant Guys described it as a lazy man's Kinabalu RC, which I think is...
What does he mean by that?
Well, I don't know what he means, but I can tell you it's got great ankle support. It trundles over nearly everything.
Mm.
And just a fantastic all-round trail shoe. So if you head over to scottrunning.nz and have a look at the new Kinabalu 2 fresh out the box, give him a sniff. Unworn.
If we turn up to Wu2K and people are like trying to have a sniff my shoe, you're in trouble.
Oh, you might have just got a little cash cow there, but yeah.
Hey, Wild Things.
Yep, I ain't going to no libraries till at least end of July, man.
Done your library thing.
Semester's done.
But the challenges are still all on.
Oh, yeah.
You've got till Sunday to do all of the trails and the Wild Things Shoe Science Auckland Autumn Series.
So I've got till Sunday to run all of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, get yourself on the board.
Yeah.
but yeah, have a look at all the other challenges. There's so many
Where
different
are you
challenges.
On the board?
I think I'm in 21st.
Out of?
I'm not sure, but Ryan Cook is way in front.
Is he?
He's storming home.
Smashing it.
Yeah, but there's heaps of different things you can get through there, through those challenges. And then you can stop by the shop. If you're a Wild Things VIP member, you get a nice little discount.
I actually need to stop by the shop. I do. I need to stop by the shop. I need to get a pair of new T8 undershorts.
Yep.
And I need to get a flask.
Yeah, you saw my little flask, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's not such a little flask because it's 700 mil.
It's a beauty.
It's a beauty.
I was packing it at the weekend. Get yourself there. Get yourself a VIP, Wild Things VIP membership by using the code DCR2021 on wildthings.club. You get 15 months for the price of 12. We get a nice little
ooh la la
from the Wild Things.
Yeah.
And Mal and Sal are happy.
And we're happy.
Everyone wins.
Yep, absolutely. As they say, happy Mal, happy life. And
wildthings.club. Do it.
Furtherfaster.co.nz mega sale.
Who's that?
I don't know, some dude. But look, Further Faster in Christchurch have their mega sale on until this Saturday, 29th, online and in store. So if you go down to Christchurch,
and if you're in Christchurch, pop into the store.
Absolutely. See Rocky, Badger, Ed
Make
L.
sure you burst through the door singing the jingle.
Absolutely, sing it in their face. I'm scrolling at the moment online, furtherfaster.co.nz. They have some amazing sales just on the shoes.
Mm.
So some Innovate shoes. They've got Hoka on sale. They've got Saliwa. Amazing. amazing. And that is just...
Roughwear?
Roughwear is on sale.
Do they have that in the shoe section, Roughwear?
I bought some Roughwear, just as a little aside, I bought some Roughwear shoes for rigs and booties.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, it didn't go down too well. I put them on him. You put one on him and the dog. If you put one on the dog will then put one foot like it's in hot lava. If you put all four on the dog will sit there looking at you with the most miserable expression on its face, refusing to move because it's now paralyzed. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's just my dog. But
I've seen plenty of dogs loving their Roughwear.
Yeah. But he loves his Roughwear collar and his Roughwear harness and his Roughwear leads. So, all about it. But if you go to furtherfaster.co.nz, you are going to be in for a treat. It goes something like, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go to further, faster now.
Dipshits Radio.
You know it's Monday night. You know it's time to record Dirtchurch Radio, when the Air Force starts warming up their aircraft.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Anyway, episode 144.
Yeah, we made it.
We did.
And what a great run we had yesterday in the forest.
Yes. When we say yesterday, we don't mean Tuesday.
Oh, of course.
But we mean Sunday.
On recording. Yeah, Sunday.
But I wrote down yesterday.
You did, and I was the doofus. I'm reading off the script, so.
Yeah. No, that was great. It was good. Yeah, got out with Scotty and had a good run out. There was, later on, it got like, Queen Street on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Or like Queen Street used to be. On a Friday. It was really busy.
Yeah. Out there.
Yeah. 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 It was great. It was so beautiful. But we also had an encounter.
Yeah. I assaulted I assaulted Eugene on a bus. I was heading into university. It was my last big assessment, clinical examination that I needed to do for this semester. And I was sitting on the bus in a shirt and pants, as one does when one's going to be semi-professional, with a bunch of books on the seat in front of me, cramming. And I see this person come out of the corner of my eye, corner of my right eye, walking down. And just as he went past me, I reflectively reached up and grabbed his elbow. Really hard.
So from my perspective, I just got on the bus, hadn't even noticed this person sitting there. Suddenly I'm being assaulted. And I was like, I did that quick turnaround because Matt was in civvies.
Yep.
Not in running gear.
So no hat,
yep.
Glasses,
yes.
And a mask.
Glasses, a mask, papers all sprawled out in front of him. I didn't recognize him. And I was like, who the hell is this who's just grabbed me? And then I went through that, you know, he just put on the fake smile.
Which
like,
I couldn't see because you had a mask on as well.
That's very true. The smiling eyes going, hi, yeah, hi, trying to go, who the hell are you?
And I had one hand was still locked in a vice-like grip on his elbow and I was waving at him with the other one.
Yeah. And then I twigged and I was like, oh, hi. And that was weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
It was fortuitous though, because I was freaking out and we spent the rest of the ride in chatting and it was really cool.
Yeah, so, and then I felt guilty because I distracted you from your swatting.
No, it was really, really
anyway.
Useful.
It was very, very good. Hey, I had another look too at Aaron Smart's film on Sean Collins, I Guess I'm a Runner. It's so good.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it now.
Do it. And then Sean popped out like not a sequel, but he see him and Madeline and Madeline's brother went and ran a
amazing
mission at the weekend and he's produced a little video of his own. It's like a little
what a polymath
film festival of their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
How good was that chat with Kai Brentz?
Oh, so good. Like I really liked the deep stuff around meditation and mindfulness and
so on. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to applying that actually. Yeah, we got pretty deep, didn't we? But then his little thing at the end about the claw.
Oh, yeah.
It stirred some people up.
Yeah, Chris Townley's laid down the gauntlet.
Oh, he got pretty rocked up about it.
Yeah, he did. Will the claw be claimed?
Yeah. Did you see him have not a go at all, but when Kai, you know, sort of said, yeah, I'm coming down, I'm going to have a go. And Chris was like, yeah, but every other event you've entered, the race organiser wants you to succeed.
Ouch.
Oof. Oh. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It's going to be really, really good. And yeah. I enjoyed how he talked about basically the fact that he had these sort of almost quite psychedelic experiences. Mm. And I think that was fantastic.
Mm.
I mean, speaking of mind-bending experiences, yes. Ellie Arntz.
Mm.
Goodness me, this week's guest is refreshing, incredible. So people might know
out
her.
Out there doing it.
Yeah, people might know her as the person who paced Katie Wright. It's crewed for Fiona Havis. She's also this recently won the Hamner
Old Forest
100 Mile with a course record and is a Landsar volunteer and also just gets out and gets amongst it in wild country.
Yeah, real backcountry missions and flaming fast.
Yeah.
Mm. So we talked to her about all of that stuff and more.
Yeah.
It's a good chat. It's a good chat. How have you been, man?
Yeah, I've been at Tino Pai, really. I continue to have, the weeks have just been huge.
Mm.
And as I said before, I had my last big assessment for the semester at uni on Thursday. And I was also on call all week for it, but I got a full week of training in and now I'm on holiday. Mm-hmm. We had an amazing run on Saturday. And whilst I did fade a bit by the end, it was fantastic. Rigby got fan-dogged.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually literally fan-dogged in the forest. Bunch of people rode up on mountain bikes. I'm like, was that Rigby?
Really?
Yeah. He was, of course, don't touch me. I'm running.
Yeah.
Let me be. And I had an encounter with someone at the car park, which was just, you know when you get those perspective slaps?
Mm-hmm.
You get someone who's just like, you think you're having, you're tired or you're having a little bit, my life is difficult or my life is hard. And then someone will talk to you in a very good-natured way and they appear to be dealing with something that is magnitudes harder.
Mm.
This woman who I talked to. So I just wanted to thank her for the conversation and actually the gift of the gift of perspective and B, you know, I hope things do go okay.
Mm, mm, mm.
So I'm good.
Yeah, it's life has many shades, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And what about you, man?
Mm. Kate and Nene, a little bit tired, I had a good week of training. On Friday, I had a super early start to get to Wellington for the day. And I did contemplate getting up early to get my training in. But when I realised the alarm was going to have a 3 in it, I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the extra sleep on this. So I think sometimes it's the best training decision you can make.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the fact that you've decided I'm not going to get in that run today, I'm going to get in the sleep instead. But yeah, I loved that run on Sunday. It was good to get in the forest and get out. The trails were just deliciously, you know, they're just at that really nice sticky stage before winter sets in. And I loved it.
No, it was certainly good. And you and Scotty were ripping it up for sure.
So were you. It was good fun.
For a while.
It was good fun.
Yeah. Look, Patreon patrons, if you'd like to support what we do, we'd love you to come on board. If you set up a regular donation, even for the cost of a cup of coffee a month, it would really help us to do things that are a bit outside our reach at the moment, like buying audio equipment to improve our sound quality and getting us to cover more races and interview people. It helps us keep the lights on also, helping us cover costs like the website and domain calls. And there's a button on our website that you can press to go to that. Or if you, it's patreon.com/dirtchurchradio.
Cool.
It's not often that something happens in our sport, our culture, that's a genuine shock and a genuine tragedy.
Yeah.
However, this weekend.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I got lots of messages about it too from non-running friends.
I didn't get lots of messages, I saw our friend Harry messaged me.
Yep. I was getting, people, this is the thing, when something happens. And we're talking about the 21, or at least 21 runners who died during a 100-kilometer event in China. And when something like that happens, it extends way beyond running, doesn't it? And so, yeah, I was getting messages from people saying, whoa, have you seen this? An absolute a tragedy for those who lost their lives, for the families, for people who were involved in rescuing them and so on. Absolutely terrible,
isn't it? So according to the Chinese website CNNB.com, as well as the Hong Kong running store Gone Running, elite Chinese runner Jing Liang, who had won all three previous editions of this race, was among those who died. His most recent top international result was a second place at the 2020 Vibram Hong Kong 100K. I mean, we don't want to...
It's not a time for a post-mortem.
It's not a time for a post-mortem.
But...
yeah, there is a point to this. And the point is, here's the list of mandatory kit for the race. Race bib, timing chip, GPX file and a route, GPS tracker, one headlamp, a water container with 1 litre capacity, a whistle, a space blanket, and a cell phone.
And there was a list of gear the organisers recommended but didn't require, which included electrolyte drinks, water, energy supplies, sun hat and sunglasses, petroleum jelly, buff, trekking poles, jacket, first aid kit. It kind of brings home the compulsory gear requirements that you constantly get at races, and a reminder that those times that races get cancelled or have their course changes, there's a good reason for that. And race organisers are having to make these literally life and death decisions, aren't they? You know, it is also worth noting that these were extreme conditions. I've seen reports of and I Run Far, I've got to say, have done some spectacular coverage of this. Of course, Brian Powell and the team have done
Megan Hicks have done
an amazing job covering it. But you know, they have stories of space blankets being shredded by the winds, people being rescued by shepherds and having to shelter in caves. It is just horrible for, you know, people who went out for a run and that happened. You know, I think the temperature dropped from, what was it, 20 degrees above to 10 degrees below in a short space of time, and you know, extraordinary winds and I guess our hearts go out to everyone involved.
Awful. Moving on, I mean, with the, you know, with the dark, we balance that with, you know, the light, and the New Zealand 100 kilometer champs were on in Christchurch. You know, so you've got a 2.5-kilometre loop. You've got Varjan Armstrong race directing.
Him at the wheel must just feel so good, right?
Just going to positively vibe everyone. Keith Burrows took it home 7:43:17. He's from Owairaka Athletics in Auckland and recent... Dirt Church Radio alumnus Jamie Stevenson, North Harbour Bays of Auckland, took out the win. So Keith was 7:43:17. Jamie was 10:11:29.
They looked like amazing conditions. It was a little bit chilly to start with, and then it got warmed up a little bit, and they just had beautiful, you know, Hagley Park.
Yeah,
what a stunning location. You know.
Absolutely. So Ben Taylor was the men's runner-up. He was in 8:41:46, followed up by James Inwood in 9:33:40, who eased past Wayne Bother, who was in 9:42:35.
Yeah, and he just pipped him towards the end there. The 50K race won by David Grimes, 3:58:32, and Ryan Wood. And Val Muscat, multi-age group world record breaker, won the women's 50K ahead of Shirley Ralston, 6:54:05. So, some great racing down there in Ōtautahi.
We had an Xterra up here.
We did.
And Tamaki Makaurau at Shakespeare National Park. Have you had a regional park, sorry, have you ever run out of Shakespeare?
Yeah, I have. Some big hills there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, just constant hills, isn't it?
Up, down. In the super long, it was Greer Logue in 1:34:58, Nikki Hill 1:40:36, and Fleur Porcy in 1:41:24.
And for the men, Jacob Hendricks 1:20:49, Max Thompson 1:21:06, and Andreas Romanos 1:23:26. Good to see him back.
Yeah, in the long course, Bridie Hart 1:16:23, Sarah Russell in 1:21:14, and Emily Register in 1:21:43.
And in the men, Aaron Jackson 1:02:05, Franklin Hamilton 1:07:46, and Mike Poynter 1:09:06.
Medium course, Stella Hammond 50:48, and George Mawson 45:33.
And the short course, Tracy McCartney 30:49, first female, and Andy Mackay 26:58.
Of course there was an Xterra in Wellington.
Of course there was.
There's always an Xterra in Wellington. Yeah.
And it was at the Akatarawas, which brand new course.
Have you run at the Akatarawa Ranges?
Have I? I can't. I I'm not sure.
It's like Riverhead on steroids.
Really?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I was like, this is just like running at home, but harder.
Where is it?
It's sort of if you go out towards, it backs onto, I think, where Transmission Gully is going to be. You go like Whitby, Dutchford, up there. Yeah. So in the long course, it was Jackie Holly taking it out in 1:42.38 and Caroline Malsop in second, 1:43.53 and Deborah Platts Fowler in 1:53.16.
In the men, Tom Peck, 1:24.35, Walter Somerville, 1:24.36. Oh, that's a tight finish.
Yeah.
Oof. And Quinton Moorman, 1:32.05.
In the medium course, it was Ali Wilson in 1:03.12, Angela Clark, 1:13.54, Emily Q, 1:13.57.
And for the men, Matthew Rail, 1 hour flat in 17 seconds, Hayden Prosser, 1 hour flat in 57 seconds, and Miroslav Horak, 1:05.27.
In the short course, 35:33 was Emma Ross and 36:53 Darcy Malsop took it home for the men.
Mm. There was a couple of other smaller but no less significant races on this weekend, including the Fitianga Marathon, which was won by, just take a guess, there's a race on sort of approximate to the Bay of Plenty over the weekend. Who do you think won?
Was it David Hunchmidt?
Yeah, you know, this, you're not making it fun. So, yeah, 2:37.02. Naomi Brand first in the women's field, 3:11.29. Maddie Dillon and James Murphy won the half.
Fantastic.
And then, of course.
Yes, the Manawatu Striders Marathon.
Yes.
Fantastic. Palmerston North represent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we heard from the running lady.
Super organiser.
Super organiser, Kate Southern. Manawatu Striders Marathon and Half Marathon, 10 and 5K in Palmy on Sunday. There's record numbers, over 1,000 people, which is incredible. There's a brand new course for the punters and some quality runners in the field too. And that included Paul Martelli, who is a 2:16 marathoner and ran the Elites race in the London Marathon in 2020.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, local boy who's been in the UK for quite a while, but he's back for a few months.
Yeah. Mm. So first female home was Amy Elliott of Taupo in 3:47.15.28. Then it was Natalie Waugh from Inglewood, represent.
Yeah.
If you ever want a wedding shot.
Yes.
Get Natalie to do it. She's quite Natalie good. 3:51.37.
Award winning.
She'll also run a marathon for you.
Yeah. And under 4 hours. Just she'll like run that. Kepler. She won't just go under 4 hours. She'll go 9 minutes under 4 hours.
And Nikki Scott of Whanganui in 4:12.07.53 in third place. So the men, it was Chris Lyons of Whanganui in 2:35.32.20. Chris Sanson of Palmerston North in 2:41.28. And Simon Angus of Wellington, 2:51.20.
And half, Tina Solia, 1:29.40, and the aforementioned Paul Martelli,
yeah.
Martelli, 1:09.29. I should have had that nailed down. I'm so sorry, Paul. Anyway, the Navratilova Evert of trail running.
It's a tennis reference, I get.
It's a tennis reference, that's right. You know, they threw the back and forth.
Who'd
one
be who?
The other.
I reckon Damien Hall would be Navratilova.
Yeah, and Evert was American,
okay.
So John Kelly can go
sweet
with that. Yeah, so the back and forth between John Kelly and Damien Hall, the 260-mile Pennine Way in between them, it's back in the hands of John Kelly.
He took 2 days, 10 hours, 4 minutes and 53 seconds, which is 3 hours, 30 minutes faster than Damien Hall in 2020. It also beat Kelly's previous fastest time of 2 days, 16 hours, 46 minutes, set in July last year, only to be surpassed 8 days later by Hall. So if you remember, yeah, John Kelly went, whoop, and then Damien Hall went, nah, and then he's gone, nah, again. So amazing.
All eyes on you, Damien Hall. So John Kelly was consistently faster throughout his run, and just kept the pace up all day. And for most of the latter part of the race, he was 3 hours ahead of his target time. So, even though he had torrential rain during long sections, he got there. So that record.
Yeah. 31 years that record stood for.
Mm.
And those two have been kicking it around like
gone
a football now.
It. Yeah. Women's record, by the way, is Sabrina Virgi, who ran it in 2 hours and 28 minutes in September 2020.
So apparently we've got a mailbag section now.
Well, this is the last couple of weeks.
Write in. We like hearing from you. Mm. So Duncan Darich says, hi guys. Thought you might be interested in re-highlighting the value of kaitiakitanga. And of course we are interested in re-highlighting the value of kaitiakitanga. As runners, we can sometimes get consumed in our personal race or training bubble without a wider view. This can come at the expense of the environment. Now, for those who don't know what kaitiakitanga is,
it's care and looking after your environment or the place that you are. So what Duncan was saying was he was talking about the rubbish and the debris that was left behind after the Hawke's Bay Marathon.
Right.
And he thought that as runners we should take some responsibility. And he tried to get a conversation going. He went to the local paper and so on. And he's written to us as well. So he's saying, you know, it's about individuals, but it's about race organizers as well. And maybe it's about the people, companies who make products. So he's saying the whole product design of a gel is a single-use plastic, which when used as a design is a viscous, sticky product, needs to be reassessed, you know. So, you know, he's saying, well, we refund plastic bottles, that scheme's about to be reintroduced, and you get some money back, saying maybe there's some way of doing that better, doing the gels and the fuels and so on. And look, out on the when we were running at Riverhead yesterday, I came back with rubbish in my bag. You know, not all of it runners, by the way. It wasn't just gel packs. It was KFC. Well, maybe it was KFC, some beer cans. Ciggies. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you get up to out there.
I do eat a lot of KFC and drink a lot of beer out there. But you know, it's...
But anyway, the point is, you know, Duncan pointing out that we as a running community, and that's from all sides, from runners, from race organisers, and from the companies that supply goods to us as runners, we can all probably do better.
Mm. Mm. I think I would like to see, and as I'm saying this, I'd be like, why don't you just eat a date or something else? But like, imagine an edible gel packet.
Hmm.
Just pop it in your mouth. Yeah. But then you'd be like trying to gag down a packet. As well as a gel, they're quite they can be quite nasty. But something, I don't know. Anyway,
this way, so, you know, like with Tailwind, for instance, I buy the big pack.
Yes.
So then I just have one pack.
Yes.
And then I use the scoops.
Yes.
Rather than getting individual packets, so you can make choices.
Yeah, you can make choices. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm more of a stick guy. I buy sort of singularly. I don't use it all the time. However, I'm very disciplined about my trash.
Yes, indeed. All right.
Greatest run ever. This is the part of the show where we ask you to write in and tell us your greatest run ever. It doesn't have to be a race or a mountain summit. It might just be a run around the block.
Time you ate KFC.
Drank a bunch of beers with the dog on a run. Something I didn't do those things. Something that sung to you for some reason. I'm sure the dog would love me to eat KFC on a run. Send it in to us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. And this is from Jennifer Watterson. Another one from Australia, and this one is a return. Right. So, hi guys. It's Jen putting in another installment of the greatest run ever. My last episode was in October 2018, and if someone had told me 10 years ago that I'd be an ultra runner, I would have laughed at them while still juggling my beer and chips while sitting back in the recliner. Now I'm exactly that, the dedicated long distance hauler, clocking up big Ks with big vert over long hours and loving every minute of it. But I have an amazing story to tell about my greatest run ever, which is just a little run out of my home trails near Bundaberg, Queensland in Australia, just across from you guys as the crow flies. I'm going to highlight that this was the best 33 minutes over 5K of my life, sharing the journey with my beloved pup, Tanner Manic. Or I'm not sure if that's Yugoslav and it's Manic, but it's probably the former. Anyway, on the 23rd of February, I brought home our new fur baby, a beautiful rescue pup who is, now listen to this, Kelpie cross Australian Cattle Dog cross Border Collie. So that's like the holy trinity of full-on dogs in one little package. His name is Tanner Manic, and he's been helping to heal our hearts after losing our longtime buddies, Texas the Blue Heeler and Kuta the Border Collie. We were aiming for the energy of breeds of a good running dog, and we've got that and more. He's black all over with a lightning strike blaze of white across his chest and silver blue tips on his toes. He believes that his main purpose in life is to be my protector and guard and make sure those around us are aware of that. He's the best personality, and I've loved watching him become established in this world around him. I've never known such a connection with a pup before, and I've had a few. On the 5th of May this year, I took Tanner out to our home trails for a second off-leash trail run. As soon as we hit the gravel, he was already expressing his excitement in the car, and as we pulled up, it was pretty evident that he was ready to go. This was not his first run. We've been practicing on 5K stints for a while now. Just like any running training, I've been increasing his Ks bit by bit over weeks and let him decide if he wants to run or walk. We've now added some Qs, and he takes this running business very seriously. We headed off down the trail, which is a nice descent, and I was about to rediscover my well-known home trails in a new light. I was reintroduced to those trails through the eyes of my pup, noticing things that I'd been oblivious to. His fascination with the sprinkling of light through the trees, listening to the bird life, and taking in the smells of his new environment. He just kept in front at a good pace and would look back at me often just to make sure I was still there. He was leaping for joy at times, which was glorious to watch, and I found myself giggling and filled with so much joy. He was so engaged with me and actually sharing his experience with me, not just moving beside me or in front. We were on a journey together. When we got to the first couple of hills, he would run back to me and nudge into my leg. At first, I had no idea what he was on about. The third hill he did this, I grabbed his harness handle and he pushed into the hill and helped me up, stopping momentarily till I let go and he would take off. He then looked back at me as though to say, just trying to help and you finally got it. He did this on all the climbs and zoomed his way down the descent. He came across a puddle and when he landed up to his belly, he looked at me as if to say, what the? And from then on, he would check the depth of each puddle with his paw. Kid you not, Rigby does the same thing. At the intersections, he would wait till I caught up so that I knew which way we were going. I'm not sure who had the most fun as we were having a shared experience emanating the same joy. When we got back to the car, we sat down together, had a big drink and he had as big a drink as I did and he leant into me looking up with a smiling face and with a look of, was that the best fun or what? The distance was nothing, I know, and I've done some amazing ultras and trained on magnificent trails, but the experience with my Tanner Manic pup was life-changing, and I believe this is one of my greatest runs ever. Of course, for Tanner, his greatest run ever is the one he did just on any other day.
Mm.
Yeah, they wrap themselves up in your thinking, dogs.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot they can teach us.
Mm. And I know that Ellie has a dog named Tucker, who's part Kelpie and is pretty full-on, and I've got Rigby, who I don't think my running life would be the same if it wasn't for Riggs.
No, it was great to have him there on the weekend, of course.
Swerving into you and Scotty, like,
yeah,
no one's business.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, thank you. That was a great, greatest run ever, Jennifer. Again. So that's the thing. We're getting some repeats through and we need some more.
We need some new blood.
New blood. Come on.
Get them in.
Sit down. You people who promised to write them, do it. Now's your time.
We see you.
Right.
Ellie Ernst lives in Whanganui. She's incredible.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she is phenomenal. And not someone who, you know, some people are storied in the fact that they seem to get made sponsorships or do stuff and this and that and the other thing. And then you've got people like Ellie who are just going out every weekend and just getting amongst it in the hills. Absolute wild country. She's stupidly fast.
Yep.
Loves a good yarn, loves a good adventure.
Yep.
Loves
record hanging at the Old Forest, Hamner, 100 mile race.
Absolutely.
First person with Katie to do a traverse of the Ruahine Ranges. A couple of the Tararua, two of the three Tararua missions.
Yep.
Yeah.
FKT on the Tarn, SK Tarn.
Female SKT, I think, yeah.
Female FKT on the, And an amazing chat. So, yeah, without further delay, Ellie Ernst. Dirtchurch Radio. Okay, so we're joined all the way from Whanganui by Ellie Ernst. Ellie, kia ora, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, thanks. How about you guys?
We are good.
Yeah, really well.
So excited to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Did you know that I wanted to interview you at Relapse and I was too scared to ask you?
Really? Yeah. I came and introduced myself to you.
I know, but I was like, no, you're not scary. It's like, I don't know why. I was a little starstruck.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. You're cool.
That's the first time someone said that to me.
Wow. I mean, considering that you went around America chasing the alt-right, it's quite a, yeah.
It's a big compliment. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's been an incredible year for you, Ellie. I mean, how are you holding up after Old Forest?
I'm recovering. I had some biomechanical issues, so physically I'm a little bit beaten up. But I was sort of anticipating that going into it. So I'm just kind of recovering and looking really, yeah, getting really excited about what's to come for the rest of the year.
Mm. So was that, when you say biomechanical issues, was that, did you have an issue before you went in, or was it just the grind of running so bloody fast for 100 miles?
It wasn't that fast.
Well, it was only a record.
It was pretty fast.
So I rolled my ankle quite badly a couple of years ago, and it had been aching a bit going into it, and then the opposite knee was compensating, obviously, during the race, and I had problems with that as well. So it wasn't wholly unexpected. I was quite happy that I got to about 115Ks before it really started giving me trouble. The ankle ached right from the start. So I was quite happy to get 115 before I had to sort of suffer it out a little bit.
Is it just like a dull ache there the whole time with a full range of movement, and then it just kind of seized up?
So I still had the full range of movement, but what happened is it transferred up into my hip. And then I was actually like physically unable to move my leg properly. So I didn't have full range of motion in my left hip for the last
45Ks. Wow. Oh, like just a marathon?
Yeah, just a marathon. I swore I'd never run a marathon again, and here I am doing 4 back-to-back.
Oh, no.
I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, because you've kind of just exploded onto the scene. I mean, but your background is in road running.
Yeah, so I started road running in 2005, I think. Just signed up for a half marathon to walk it when I was living in Canada, and then got partway through it and decided walking was way too slow. Signed up for another one and ran, and then it just kind of went from there, really. Joined the local Harrier Club, so I've done quite a lot of seasons with them, both road and cross country.
Yeah.
And slowly became to love the cross country a lot more than the road. And
cross country is so fun.
I definitely have a strong background. It might seem on the surface like I've just suddenly appeared, but I have quite a long history of running and tramping behind me.
Mm. How long were you in Canada for?
Just 12 months.
Oh yeah. But
in just went over on a working visa.
Oh cool. Whereabouts?
BC.
Nice.
North Vancouver.
Yeah. And otherwise, have you been based in Whanganui? Is that home?
Well, sort of. I was born in the South Island, and we relocated here when I was 10, so I've been here for quite a while, but the South Island's still definitely home.
Yeah. And in that road running phase, so you did run a marathon or several? Yep. Several? Or,
yeah. No, just one.
Just
and
one?
Said I'd never
one, and
do
done.
Another one. One and done.
And now you're running 100 miles. Yep, that's how it works. Yeah.
But it's quite a different sport, I think.
Yeah.
Road running a half to trail running ultras, definitely.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It's, it's the same, obviously the same sort of motion. We're all runners, but it's totally different, isn't it? Having to a road run where you've got to sort of keep the pedal down for as long as you can, as opposed to going with the ebbs and flows of an ultra.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think any time in an ultra there's a bad spot or a good spot, you just got to remember either this is not going to last, so I'll just push through it, or this is not going to last, so I'll enjoy the amazing feeling while it's here.
Yeah.
Definitely. And how did you said you sort of started road running and then you got more into tramping. How did that come about?
So I didn't really grow up being sporty or have a very outdoorsy family, but obviously something in me really loved the hills. And it wasn't until my marriage broke down in 2013. Suddenly I had these weekends where I didn't have my kids and I just started tramping. It was kind of a way to escape from the other stressful things going on in my life. And I would go out huts that I knew I'd see other people, so I wasn't on my own. And then that kind of became going to places where I knew I wouldn't see people. And then how far can I go? And how far can I do in a 16-hour tramping day? And, then turn it into running.
Hmm.
Wow.
So it sounds like you've always had, if not a competitive streak, then some sort of drive in there.
I've definitely got drive.
Did you ever consider doing anything like fast packing? Or anything? It sounds like you were doing fast packing if you're kind of trying to cram it.
No, I wasn't. It was actually with like a full 3-day pack on.
Right.
So Katie always looks at me in horror because I can bust up these hills faster than her with a big 3-day pack on. She's got a light pack. there's a lot to be said for carrying heavy gear up and down the hill.
Yeah, secret hill training.
Yeah.
And hill training speed work, so, you know.
Yeah, it was completely unintentional, but it's definitely paid dividends.
So you mentioned Katie there, so Katie Wright, yeah. Obviously. How did you guys meet?
She sent a message to the Harrier Club Facebook page asking about trail running in Whanganui because she'd just moved here for work. And I read the message and I knew that not many people in the Harriers were into trail running. So I replied to her and I was like, why on earth has Katie moved to Whanganui? So anyway, we met up and went for our first run and then we just kind of took it slowly for a while. And then she said to me, oh, do you want to come and run SK Valleys in the Tararuas? And I was like, okay, sure. Like, I didn't confess to her that I'd never run anything close to that distance wise before. And we just went and did it.
Really? So that was your introduction. You're just going to hit SK Valleys with Katie Wright.
Yeah, 18 and a half hours for the ultra.
Oh my goodness me. That's
how did you, like, were you freaking out or were you just like, oh, well, we'll just suck it and see?
Yeah, just see what happens. Yeah. We got to the end and I was kind of tired and I was like, oh, well, but no, I could keep going. So we just kept going and did bigger things and yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, what was in her bio? Did she mention have run around Wales? Did done some other stuff too? Yeah. Or was she just like, is anyone, it's just like very understated, is anyone keen for a bit of trail running?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure I recognise the same. And I went and Googled her and I was like, why is she moved here?
And so then fast forward, you know, you've got, so you did the Valleys, SK,
mm-hmm.
and then yeah. you're up now, you did the Tarn SK as well.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was mentally challenging for me. The weather was terrible. It was freezing cold. I spent the first 13 hours just wanting to quit, but no easy way to quit. Once you're in that, you're kind of in it. And then the sun came out and it was all on and it was, yeah, the second half of it was much easier for me than the first half.
Mm.
Because of the conditions, yeah.
Yeah, the forecast didn't work out the way it should, couldn't it? The wind was supposed to drop or something.
It was going to be fine by 10 o'clock. So we're like, oh, we can suffer it out for 3 hours max. Came 10 o'clock, came 11 o'clock, 12, 1, 2. Just like, this is not what the forecast is.
Wow.
But yeah, we did it. And we're pretty lucky to be the first woman to go sub 24 on that.
And you absolutely smashed
it
too. 22 and a half. Or 22
and a half, yeah.
Mm. Was that way beyond what you expected, or was that sort of what you'd secretly, you know, hoped to go towards?
Well, I'd kind of worked out the splits for doing 23 hours. Because obviously there's the other one, there's the main range. There's three in total, and if you do all three, you can get what they call premium status. So we're like, well, we'll try Tarn because it's a little bit easier than the main range and just see how we go. And then we got to the end of the Tarn, I was like, if we get the conditions right, main range, yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
So it was quite exciting from that point of view.
So is it like, does it go like valley, bottom, Tarn, and then main range? Is that how they work it out?
Right. Yeah, I think the main range is just slightly more, I don't know if it's more technical, but it does have quite slow sections over the Tararua of Peaks, which are a bit scrambly, and it's slightly longer and slightly more vert, but I think it'll definitely be possible for us to do that.
What does premium status give you? Is that like Coro membership?
I don't know. Yeah, apparently you get unlimited car parking at the road edge.
What is it, the Big Wellington Run? Sorry.
Sunday Run meetup? Or
yeah, where everyone buys you coffee. You never have to buy a coffee again. Yeah.
Yeah.
They seem like they've got that on lockdown. I've always been slightly Like, is there any dirt? But they seem to get on pretty well together. And, like, you've got Worm and you've got Big Sunday Run. And they, you know, they never the twain. Well, not never the twain shall meet, but they seem like they've got it together pretty.
Do they get together like West Side Story?
Yeah, probably they do. There's probably big dance fights going on the top of that.
Anyway, I think we've kind of diverted here. But so so you've now done two of them. And to do the main range, is that on the cards? Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. God, but it's just, so we could have done all three this year, but we got a little bit sidetracked. I had this, I got this idea from a friend about running the Ruaheni main range.
Yeah.
And that had been something that had never been done before in a single push. So that was really my number one go-to. Katie was like, I want to go and do a recce of the Tarn. And I'm like, I want to go and do CL.
Yeah.
And it took, I just kept saying, I'm going to go and do this. Do you want to come? And eventually she's like, yep, I'm on board.
Yeah. Especially with the lure of being the first, I guess.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have wanted to miss out on that.
No.
Wow.
So, the main range will just have to wait now until next season or till next summer.
Because what months is it feasible to do it?
Obviously, I think December's a really good month.
Mm-hmm.
You got really long daylight hours. It's not too hot yet. There's still water supply on the tops. Yeah, I think December, if you can get it right, is your best bet.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Ruaheni range, I was going to say FKT, but is it still, first known time, FKT?
Yeah, and the fastest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was something that you had in mind. So you got the idea from someone else, but you had it once you heard it, that was it. You wanted it. Was that right?
No, I heard it and it terrified me and I didn't think I'd ever be able to do it. And then during lockdown, I sort of did a lot of spreadsheeting and research, and I know the Ruaheni fairly well. And then the idea just kind of grew on me and grew on me. And I think doing the valleys gave me a lot of confidence. It was still scary, and even going into it was terrifying. I just had to not think about it too much, because it's one of those runs, once you're in there, you're really in there unless something goes horribly wrong and you have to get pulled out.
Mm.
It was a big unknown, given that there'd been four attempts and nobody had been successful.
Yeah.
So the odds are kind of stacked against us from that point of view.
Why weren't people?
But it just lined up amazingly.
Why weren't people successful?
I think weather forecast was definitely an issue on several occasions. Maybe just underestimating the terrain a bit. Yeah, it's not a route for a.
Is it a route that you'd? I mean,
climbers.
Right.
So it's nice groomed trails. You never have to get your poles. There's little stations where you can get some food and stuff. That's how I'm picturing it.
What do the Italians call them? Refugios.
Refugios along the way. You have a little sleep. Have I got the picture right?
Yeah. I think in Katie's words, there were bits that she was like, wow, that was mildly terrifying.
What's mildly? I'm really interested to know, and I know it's a naive question, but what makes something, and Katie Wright speak, mildly terrifying is probably like existential dread for the rest of us, but what does mildly terrifying look like?
It was a little bit scary. Rocky, but broken rock, and very, very narrow, with massive drop-offs on either side.
Right, so like...
no track.
You take a header, you're D-E-D dead.
Yep.
Wow.
Oof. And how do you, so obviously with a tramping background... Have you experienced that kind of stuff before? Or
so I had been over that route
right
before, as a bit of a recce run pre-COVID. So I did know, that was there.
Yeah.
I probably didn't let on to her how scary it was before we went there.
When you're doing these sorts of runs, you mentioned the forecast was good, but it wasn't. So you're often throwing yourself into some pretty hectic conditions. What gear? You must just have to, no wonder you have a 3-day pack with you, because you'd have to carry so much and be prepared, because you're not going out there to be stupid. You're prepared and you're doing all the right things. So What does that look like? How many days does it take you to pack?
Mm.
How many days does it take me to pack?
Well, you know, what are you packing? What are you taking?
For tramping or for running?
For running. So you got a couple of Auckland neophytes who want to go do something mildly challenging. And there's
I would take you and make sure you come home safely.
Training wheels on. What are these on our legs? Those are training wheels, boys. Yeah. No, but what I'm not suggesting that that anyone just goes tearing off into the hills. But I mean, there's a difference, right, between going on a trail run, even a long trail run, somewhere like Riverhead or the Waitakere Ranges, and doing something like the Ruahine Range or the Tararua Range or anything like that. What are you packing different?
For anything that's on the tops, I will take full waterproof top and bottom. I will also take multiple thermal layers, including emergency gear. So, like, if you know, you don't want to be wearing all your warm clothing at once, so I'll always take one base layer, top and bottom, that's emergency gear. I always have a bivy bag as opposed to just a foil blanket. Just lots of warm stuff, really.
I've heard that those blankets can turn into a sail, which will then just fly off into the...
at least in a bag you can get right inside it and kind of pull it up over your head and try and contain as much heat as possible.
Yeah, yeah. In your write-up about the Tarn SK, there's a point at which you said, I'm just reading from it now, a T-shirt, arm warmers, thermal top, windproof jacket, rain jacket, gloves, buff, and Gore-Tex overpants. So that's, that's sort of Michelin Man stuff, isn't it? Yeah. But that's what you need. And then you'd have more in your bag.
Yeah, and then another layer in my bag. So generally I'm pretty good at picking forecasts. I will often go where I know the forecast is going to be good. I won't purposely put myself out into situations that are dodgy. But sometimes, you know, even with the best planning, it's the weather, right? It just does what it's going to do. And so you need to be prepared for that.
And then the flip side is those moments, like you said, when the sun comes out and you just...
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a lizard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to understate the psychological boost that the sun coming up can make, hey, or can give you.
Yeah.
How do you train for, especially coming from a road running background, how do you train for this sort of stuff?
I don't think you could train for it just road running. I think that's where the tramping comes into it. And like I said, it wasn't really like what you think of as normal tramping. Mm. I've never done any of the great walks. Most of my stuff's in the Tararuas or the Ruahines or the Kawikas, and it's like big hills, long days, rivers, on track, off track. And so when you start doing stuff like that, going and running 100 miles on a pretty nice groomed trail is actually mentally and physically pretty easy in comparison.
And biomechanical issues aside, I suppose.
Yeah, biomechanical issues aside. Mentally and energy-wise, I had no problems in either of those departments, really.
And so you were talking about the tramping was a way to sort of fill in your time and regulate yourself when you were, you know, dealing with some pretty difficult stuff. Do you get that same sort of, you said mentally, do you get that same sort of sense of satisfaction from running, like, say, Hamner?
No. There's something about just being up in the, like for me, it's being up in the hills, on the top, in the Tuffet, I can see everything, there's like, so much to look at and so much to take in. And so going out and being on the tops and tramping and that will always do it for me way more than being in a race way more than winning stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think you said that at when I was chatting to you at Relapse that you were looking forward to just getting back and doing some of your own missions as opposed to being in that race environment.
Yeah, yeah. Having done both, I don't know, it just fills me up in a way that racing can never do.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk to you about racing, and I want to talk to you specifically about racing from the perspective of a pacer, because I saw you and Katie race the 100 mile, and you did race the 100 mile at Tarawera, and I saw you win that. How was that experience for you, and what did that take?
I guess I'm pretty lucky that Katie and I have a really good relationship, as far as, you know, even though we haven't known each other for a long time, we've been in some pretty sticky situations together where either one of us have been up or down, and we can read each other pretty well. So that was, yeah, definitely very helpful as far as pacing. I did feel a bit of pressure, if I'm honest. I was running along and being like, I haven't seen a marker for a while. I hope we're going the right way and I'm not going to get us lost. You know, that happens, it's all off, right? It's basically over. So it was very different. I've never paced before, so it took us a while to get into a little bit of a groove. But then she was just, yeah, yeah, me or whoa. And like, we just worked it out.
Was there much talking?
No, which is quite funny. Katie was very serious. I'm usually much faster on the uphill than her. And coming out of, I think, Miller, we'd just passed Fee, and I was walking uphill like really fast, and she was puffing along, but keeping up with me. And I was like, holy heck, she really wants this. Like, this is scary. I just hope that I can like hang on and like get her through this kind of thing. I think we came into Blue Lake and I said to Andrew McDowell, I was like, she really wants this. it was really good to see, but yeah, a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had that section coming down the stairs, basically throwing elbows.
Did someone tell you this?
I saw the video of you and Katie at the Redwoods aid station, basically just going apeshit. Like, you're just running through, like, shouldering volunteers out of the way, and she's chucking stuff out of her pack. And it looked like sort of Blair Witch Project in a rave, really. And then you were gone into the bush or onto the flats. It looked serious stuff.
Obviously, like, we know, like, Katie's quite good on the technical stuff. So it was making ground on the uphill and the downhill. I don't know if I've ever run down steps like fast in my life. all these poor, like, 100K people, like, struggling down the steps, and we just like, coming through, excuse me. Belting down there. But once we got through Redwoods, we got out onto the road, and it was just, like, all really dark and really quiet, and it was quite sobering. It was like, right, we got through this, but we're not there yet. We've just got to kind of hold ourselves together, keep a decent pace, because it's flat and we've still got a way to go. It's not over yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? And on paper is nothing, but you know that Fee and Stuart, her pacer, they've got some serious wheels, you know. So that must have, was that frightening, or were you, did you, could you see each other by the end? I mean, was it that close?
I couldn't see her. We got into the chute and Katie was coming around the corner. She's like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. She slows down. I put my hand on the back, on the middle of her back, and just gave her a little push. I was like, you're not over the line. Keep going.
That would have been a viral video, wouldn't it?
That's right. The pacer who stops her on her own congratulates her before the finish line. Yeah.
But yeah, there was so much, I guess, because she'd put so much into it.
Yeah.
And obviously it was stressful. There was just so much emotion at the end of it.
Yeah.
From kind of holding it together for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how special for such good mates to be able to share something like that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I've been saying wow a lot, which is kind of a placeholder, and I don't mean to be like, that's amazing, but it is, it's just generally impactful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I remember a lot of that weekend was a blur, but that was like being there, feeling like I'm part of something, a very small part of something very, very special.
When we passed Fee, I was kind of like, sorry, but we have to go.
Yeah.
And I guess it speaks, though, to the wonderful sort of, and I can use the word sorority, of the New Zealand sort of trail running scene, that, you know, you ended up in April hanging out again in Riverhead for a couple of days with Fiona, Growing Fiona with Kate Shea.
Yeah, so I've actually known Fee for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I met her, I think, at North Range in Palmerston North a couple of years ago. And then we went and ran the goat together. Well, not together, but at the same time. And that's how we met Kate as well, who was also crewing Fee. So Fee asked me at Tarawera, she's like, will you come crew me at Relapse? And I was like, sure.
I owe you Katie for that.
Yeah, so back I went again.
Yeah. How was that experience?
I love it.
Yeah?
I love crewing. I love Relapse. I went home from Relapse this time and I was like, I felt my triumph. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah, it's like all these running events, isn't it? It's like a summer camp that you go away to with a weekend with a bunch of like-minded individuals. But I think the difference is you're there together the whole time and everyone's there. All the runners are there every hour and then they go again and then they're all back, right? Sort of brings everyone together. It's like a big inhale and an exhale.
Rather than disappearing off down the trail.
Yeah. You're tempted to dip your toe in?
Not really. Katie has tried to convince me and then thinks that she shouldn't convince me because I might beat her. And no, not this year if the course is the course is way too muddy.
Yeah, it was super I mean, it was far more hectic than we anticipated it would be. It is what it is, though.
It's Riverhead, and for Chris and Sam to go so far on that course was really impressive.
For sure, yeah. But you're lining up for Revenant, is that right?
Yeah, so got my arm twisted for that one.
Picked a nice easy challenge.
Oh, yeah, arm twisted.
Yeah, it did take a while.
Did it?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But surely with, you know, loving to get out in the hills and everything and the racing aspect of it. It sounds like it's right up
your alley.
Yeah. I am
Good.
It was a very delayed reaction, Matt.
Sorry. It's been a long week. You stopped when
you thought, no, I'm going to charge on through.
Well, the name's not, it's a diminutive, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Apologise. So
sorry.
It's right up your street.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes, I am excited about it now.
Yeah.
I think it did, again, terrify me, the thought of going out for that length of time, but the more big things you do, the less terrifying they become.
Will you do it with Katie?
Yes. So we haven't signed up as a team. We've signed up as individuals.
Yep.
With the view to pair up. But I wouldn't want her to not succeed because something happened to me and I'm sure she'd be the same. Yeah.
Right. So you have a pact that if one is falling behind or whatever, that you do have an exit route. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which, I mean, that seems to be the way to do it, isn't it? I mean, well, I guess Jordan didn't, but...
No.
You know, it seems to be a sensible approach to be able to team up and have two minds working on that navigation for one thing.
Yeah.
How are you at nav? Because Katie doesn't... She's been working on it, hasn't she?
She's been working on it. I have, I must confess, taken up orienteering again recently because I've got very lazy.
Yeah.
When you're doing FKTs, you kind of rely on the GPS because you don't want to be out there like in the dark trying to sort out your map and compass. You just want to follow the line so you don't fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm in Landsar, so there is a certain degree of navigational skills that I'm required to have for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. How did you get involved with Land Search and Rescue?
How did I get involved in that? Somebody said it would be a good idea for me to come along and sign up, so I did.
Sounds like you get a lot of that. Hey, do you want to run Sean?
I've had some very interesting trips being winched in and out of NH90s and
really,
yeah.
Wow, really?
Eerie conditions, really.
Fantastic. How is it? Yeah. So, and so you do that as a volunteer or is that a job?
Yeah, completely voluntary.
And I bet that on those hairy moments, you're sort of thinking, please don't let me be staring up at somebody being winched down to rescue me.
Yeah.
What's it like when you're a Landsar and you have to be rescued?
I don't know. This is funny. When I rolled my ankle, I was about 3Ks from the car park on Taranaki, and I'm quite logical in sticky situations. And I was like, right, the adrenaline's working, the pain won't be so bad. I just need to get as far as I can before it really hurts. And I can't ring Lanta because I will be so embarrassed and they will just come and make me walk out. So I'm just going to hoof it. I got to the car and took my shoe off. I don't know how I did that.
Wow.
Oh, no. Man.
Have you been on any actual searches and or rescues?
Yeah, I have. Yes. I've been on a few. Yep.
And what's...
No,
go.
I can't always speak about the specifics of them. Mm. But we do get a variety of call-outs. Unfortunately, we're getting quite a lot more despondence lately. People that have had mental health issues and weren't able to work through those.
Yeah.
What
did you refer to them as?
Despondent. Is what we call them, because they're not responsive. Well, they don't really want to be found.
Sure.
So they're not.
Yeah. So they're despondent. Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That is really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first search was one of those. It was a bit of a brutal introduction.
Yeah.
We get all sorts.
Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of just sort of circling back to that whole being prepared thing, not like you wouldn't be, but that just sort of underlines, you know, having that background and that knowledge that you get from being in Landsar must be invaluable out in the hills.
Yeah, for sure. And it does give me, I've got an inReach that I can borrow from them. And so there's different safety perks as well.
Yeah.
I bet there's some sort of tax that you'd need to pay internally to Landsar if you had to get rescued by Landsar.
They'll probably
Sorry.
Pride.
it probably involves beers or something like that.
And you'd be going, but I've got my premium membership of the Tararuas.
Yes,
and you go, doesn't matter.
So may I ask, what you do all these adventures, I'm hoping that you, what do you do for a job? If everything else in your life is just the most heckers ever,
I go back to work for a rest.
Yeah.
I work in an office. I'm an office manager for a structural engineering design firm. I work part-time as well, and it's quite flexible. If the weather's great and I want to leave on a Friday, then I pretty much can leave on a Friday and hit the hills.
Cool.
And so they come in on Monday morning and say, I got the lawns done. What did you get up to, Ellie? And sort of like, well...
Yeah, usually Friday's like, what are you up to this weekend? And Monday's like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they live a bit vicariously?
Oh, they absolutely do. Yeah, they're my biggest fans. I'm very fortunate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Have you twisted any of their arms?
Oh, no. Probably the more they see me do, the less likely it is to happen.
Did you go back to work on Monday after Old Forest?
No, I didn't get back. So my sister lives in Christchurch, so I spent the day with her on Monday.
Oh, nice.
And then just kind of did half a day on Tuesday and waltzed in and out during the week as I felt I could manage.
Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it, with all people who run or do anything like this, the co-workers have some sort of, they have maybe even a slight, intellectual view of said he's going to go and do some run or she's going to go do some run, and then they're treated the week-long spectacle of a sort of shambling, footsore, exhausted, very hungry person back at work, slightly grumpy at times, slightly elated at others.
Maybe not grumpy, just not very talkative. And I had a few of that, are you recovered yet, questions, and they all look shocked, and I'm like, no, it's gonna be like 6 to 8 weeks.
Apart from getting your biomechanical stuff attended to, how are you recovering? What's your approach?
Yeah, really, really well. I think because I had to slow down, I didn't even have sore muscles or anything. I wasn't tired at the end because I hadn't been pushing myself that hard. And no,
I'm just about to turn my headphones off and storm out of the room.
I feel a bit embarrassed. actually.
It's actually okay to say because it's your experience. Yeah, you know, it's not right. Like it's not like you're sitting and having met you several times, you're not the type of person to sort of swagger around saying, "Oh, that's nothing." But, you know, like I think we are it's absolutely your experience. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's all about perspective. I mean, if I compare it to some of the other things I've done, which were a lot more physically or mentally challenging, it's the second shortest time-wise that I've done for an ultra. So it was like, yeah, it's just apart from the distance, which you don't really think about because otherwise you I kept saying, this seems like a really bad idea. So I just like stopped thinking about the fact that I was going to go and do it.
How, I mean, you, yeah, I love the idea that the last 40Ks of a 100 miler was basically a cool down to be able to ensure that you recovered well.
Oh, yeah, that was good. The game
good
plan.
Good planning. But you still managed to break the record. There were a ton of records that weekend as well. What was going on? Was there something in the water or, you know, why do you think so many records fell?
I don't know. Maybe it depends on who turns up on the day.
Yeah.
Conditions are also really good.
Yeah.
To the point that I ran probably about 50Ks of it in road shoes.
Right.
So it was really dry underfoot.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature was pretty even. It was a little bit cooler at nighttime, but it wasn't that freezing cold, frosty.
Yeah.
Minus whatever.
Mm.
So that probably helped. And it wasn't windy at all.
Yeah.
So I don't, yeah.
Definitely makes a difference, doesn't it? If that's
yeah,
good conditions and good terrain and stuff. Yeah, it's also I suppose not in your case, but I think people, you know, have been missing out on racing as well, probably. So maybe a little bit of kind of getting out there and doing it while they can and when they can. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the field was quite large compared to previous years.
Certainly, given people. The last year or two have certainly given people perspective, haven't they? And something we come back to, people just turn up and think about like Tarawera relapse, you know, all the races that have been on that people haven't been able to get to. Northburn, there was huge fields. People just really, really going and getting after it.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting. It seems to be like people sign up a lot closer to the cutoff maybe than they used to. So they just sit back and wait and then be like, okay, we can probably get this. And then they
sign
up.
Yeah, yeah. Which is better, crossing the finish line at Old Forest with a new record or hearing Jean Beaumont whoop back as you complete your tiniest K?
It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
I love hearing Jean whoop back. I'm such a whooper. but probably the thing at the finish of Hamner was just having my support group and my family there. That was...
But yeah,
for me, that would have to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's
not irrespective of the result.
Yeah, yeah.
It was having those guys there. That was amazing.
Right, because that's the thing. I mean, as much as you say, and it's obvious that you love getting out in the hills, races are kind of the point where you get to catch up with everyone, don't you? And you can have your family nearby, and you can have your friends around you, and your crew, and so on. So it's much less lonely. Event. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think you can definitely gain things from both experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of prefer crewing ultras maybe than running official ultras.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something to that though, right? Like crewing, I think there should be a, you know, crewing pacing that there should almost be, I don't know how you'd eventalize that or make that an event, but People go to such great, you know, people, and approaches too. Like I'm sure Katie's approach is very different from Fiona's approach, which is very different from Sean's approach, which is different from, you know, Becky Nixon's approach. Everything's different.
Yanis Kouras.
Right? Yeah, Yanis Kouras. Mm. Give me that cake. I'll have that cake.
Yeah, that quarter third banana.
No, this is the thing, right? So, yeah, Yanis Kouras was down to the, like, was it the banana?
He gave very specific instructions to his crew. It was like the bananas had to be one third of a banana, like not half, not a quarter, a third.
Or a fifth.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could crew that. I think for our crew, you've got to have a plan, but you've got to be very good at problem solving and thinking fast on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If it was a job, I would do it. It would be my dream job.
Really?
I could get paid to crew, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the thing, isn't it? You're facilitating, you're just facilitating success. Speaking of, are you going to Tennessee?
Well,
ooh.
I would love to go to Tennessee. I can't go to Tennessee if there's A, no flights, or B, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Details.
Because I have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't take a month out. I can take 2 weeks out, but a month's a bit of a push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't even know if anyone will be going to Tennessee from New Zealand.
Would you, if the option were there, would you go to Tennessee?
If I could go for 2 weeks in Crewe and come home, yes, I would definitely go.
Mm. How amazing would that be?
Yeah. I got told that apparently I'm, you know, Katie's official good luck charm.
Oh, you're the good luck charm. That's right. Yeah.
Going as well, apparently, but I'm in the same boat.
You're in the carry on.
That's right.
Have you got anything to declare? Just my little good luck charm here.
If she's going to be running for 50 plus hours, then we definitely need more than one crew member because I don't think I can stay awake from that long.
Oh, gosh. I wish it
was. Maybe you could be a professional, and obviously not this year with the. And the, you know, flights and blah blah blah, but that would be one place where you could be a professional crew member, I suspect.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
or Barclay or any of those.
Sort of put it. I don't suppose you find those positions on Trade Me or Seek or anything. But
they're probably like in the like. I bet there is professional. There are people in the States who just. Yeah, I know that there's a big sort of, or there was traditionally a big sort of pacer for hire kind of. Market going up to Western as well,
like
And you know how Andrew,
You
know how Andrew McDowell was just sort of lurking at the Redwoods this year.
Oh,
did you hear about that? Mm-hmm. He was just running and he was pacing people. I'm using air quotes of probably whether they liked it or not.
Right,
he was just running in with people.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
he'd go back and do it again and do it again. Oh. But yeah, that's a big thing apparently. Lots of
He did pace me in with a recorder.
He did indeed. Yeah.
Do you,
I'm sure I could auction it off. I've had enough people ask me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, highest bidder.
Right, have you had? Okay. So people are like, "Ellie, you want to pace me?"
Yeah.
Pretty
much.
There you go.
Well, it's no wonder.
Trying to get away from the pressure, right?
And you'll be getting to the point where, well, if you decide to take it up, you'd be like, can you pace? You know, you'd probably have a group of people lining up around the block to pace you.
Yeah, probably. Matt was very, very, very keen to get out. Actually, they all were, and run a lap or two with me at Old Forest.
Yeah.
They were chomping.
Yeah.
I bet they were.
I was about like, I don't need anyone to run with me. And they're like, we want to run with you.
Now there's a man whose survival could be counted in seconds up on the top. Say he only ever wears a singlet and little shorts.
Yeah.
You got your emergency gear? Yep, I've got my arm warmers. Let's go.
I have an extra singlet.
Yeah, he's from Yorkshire, so I mean, true. You know, true. Probably just.
Yeah.
Were you allowed support runners at Hamner? Hamner, sorry.
There weren't any specific rules about yes or no. They were kind of like, oh, if you're going to podium with people. Prefer you not to,
right?
But I think all the women were having paces anyway, and so yeah, there was no. And to be fair, like they weren't like no one paced me. Like I was in front the entire time,
right? Yeah.
So they were more just like running along for company.
Yeah.
So they were adjacent.
Yeah. They were adjacent.
Adjacent.
I still set the pace.
Do you have a pacer? No, I have an adjacent runner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. you have to run it to be getting back to being a crew member. You have to run a good spreadsheet. Do you run a good spreadsheet?
Oh, I run brilliant spreadsheets. Not as impressive as Sean's, which I have had privy to see.
Yeah.
Sorry, visual medium wagging my finger. I happen to know that probably not Sean.
Oh, why?
Was it your one?
No.
Have you met me? Matt's going.
Do I look like
Matt's
a spreadsheet
going,
guy?
A spreadsheet?
No, I can follow a spreadsheet. I reckon old mate might. Oh, no, Sean's actually an accountant. He's very good with personal spreadsheets.
Yeah,
they are very impressive. Yeah. I mean, color-coded and everything.
Yeah.
Gareth Morris, he does a good spreadsheet. Yeah.
Madeline Collins does also. That was what I was getting at. She does a good spreadsheet, and she also does a good following the spreadsheet.
Hence
that's why Sean and I were up for like 30 plus hours because she wasn't there. So it's like naughty kids not going to bed. And if she'd come, she'd have been go to bed.
Look at this spreadsheet. What does it say?
That's exactly
So for the Ruahini run, one of the dictating factors was the river level. A couple of hours in from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely had some good graphs going about when people had been able to cross it and when they hadn't and what the current flow was doing. And
where do you get information like that from?
Websites like NIWA that have like River Gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or just go scrolling through people's tramping club. So I'd go and look at their tramping reports and see they could cross the river. So then I'd say, okay, they went on the 22nd of January. So go look on the NIWA website for the 22nd of January and figure out what the flow was. Put that on my spreadsheet and get a collection of these things. And
wow.
Yeah.
You do the spreadsheet. Off. Yeah. Yeah.
It paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the work that it takes. I mean, people, you don't just rock up and run through the hills, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Not sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're asking for disaster, really, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Just stay home.
Stay home.
Stay home. Is that directed at me? Mr. No Spreadsheet? Just stay home.
Hey, we went over the trig this week.
Twice.
Yeah.
Double ascent.
170 metres.
In fact, I was up there five times this week. No ropes. Nothing.
The funny thing was, though, crewing at Tarawera, where you have to drive around to different road ends, and the roads aren't always that well marked, and some are private roads and some are forestry roads, and it was actually way more terrifying than trying to figure out how to get from A to B in the middle of nowhere in the hills with a topo map. It's easy.
Crewing at Tarawera is hectic, eh? And it is that thing about trying to and trying to judge if you're trying to crew someone where they'll be at what time. And
and then like, oh, can I sneak in a sleep or get a refuel or whatever? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't want to miss anyone. Mm.
Yeah, because we were quite lucky being at the front. Like, we didn't have to fight traffic or any of those sorts of things. Mm. I think the only time we had any serious downtime was at Otakaina. So Matt and I, because Matt crewed his friend Andrew, who came in just before Katie. So we went out to Otakaina on the bus together and we were just waiting out there. It was probably a couple of hours just waiting for our runners to come in, which is quite fascinating watching you. But apart from that, we didn't have to wait around too much during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you eat on a massive backcountry mission?
On a massive backcountry mission, I will have quite a bit of Tailwind. And a lot of gels. And then I also will break it up. I quite like the tasty fruit and veggie balls. And then I will often think about having a lunch or a dinner meal, which actually ends up just being like a spinach wrap with peanut butter and salt and vinegar chips is usually my go-to.
Hmm. Are you plant-based? Is that or veggie or something?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. And does that, I mean, people always go, oh, you can't do that and do big missions, but you don't seem to have a problem with it?
I actually have more problems with my gut if I have dairy.
Right.
And I don't really enjoy the taste of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be working so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to run what you brung.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about in the SK Valleys when you came across the group family of five queuing to cross a one-person swing bridge. Did you politely wait at the back?
No, we didn't. I didn't. Not at all. I think we waited for one of them to go over and they were very, very, very slow. And I was like, I'm not standing here for half an hour. Excuse me, could you please let us through? We're on the run and we're under time pressure, thanks.
Yeah.
And then took off and left Katie to explain to them what we were up to.
You didn't have to bust out the famous Ernst elbows?
No.
No.
Sweet.
I'm not that big and scary.
No, but an elbow to the solar plexus. You know, it doesn't matter the stature, it'll still take a person down. Did they look at you like you were like, were they like, what are you up to?
Oh, the best one was, I didn't see them because I was gone. The best one was we came across a group of older trampers and they were like, where have you come from? And we said, and they kind of stand there and like, you can see their brains like ticking. Where's that? Okay. That's impressive.
Yeah. It is something very different, isn't it? And it's the same, you know, that like your co-workers get it on one level, but obviously on another level, it's just totally out of their world. And mm-hmm. and people that you meet on the trails too, it's just something you do that's very different.
I love when the intersection happens. Yeah. I remember Rebecca and I were on a run once and we passed these two gentlemen going up it was pre boardwalk Karamatura.
Mm-hmm.
And they had massive packs on and we were running up and then we went up to Donnelly, ran round, and then running back down, and they had made camp basically at the top of the trail that we'd run up, and they were brewing up lunch of 2 minutes. You know, they were making like, they had the camping stove out and they were very, very pleased with themselves. We came past and they just looked at them and they looked at us, and it was like that tribal, you
right.
know, like
yeah.
two worlds sort of collided very briefly. It's fantastic. Yeah.
The funny thing is I still think of myself way more as a tramper slash right. runner than an ultra runner. It's
yeah.
very, it's still very weird for me
yeah.
to hear myself called an ultra runner.
Yeah. What do your kids make of what you do?
Toby's my son. He's 9. So when I came home with my medals, he's like, I always wanted a famous parent. And my daughter, who's 13, she thinks it's great for bragging rights against your friends at school.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So they're proud.
So,
yeah.
Again, they don't understand it, but they're very proud of me. So I'm very lucky.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Right. Well, we have taken up so much of your time and you have probably a spreadsheet to get back to or something.
No, I've got kids to put into bed.
Kids to put to bed.
Oh, well, we can't.
Yeah.
No, we better not keep that up. Yeah.
If they're tired tomorrow,
yeah. Blame us. Yeah.
Write them a note. Matthew, John Raymond and Eugene Bingham kept
my kids up too late. Yeah. But we do need to ask you one question, and that is, what is your greatest run ever?
It's an easy one. For me, it'll still be the Rohini Traverse. I don't think I could ever top that. Maybe I can, but yeah, it just all lined up so amazing. The weather was perfect. Injury wise was perfect. Being out with Katie and being first to do that was just take the cake every single time, I think.
No one can ever take that away from you.
No. It's just, yeah, even if we weren't the first, just the whole experience.
Yeah.
It was quite life-changing, I think, for me.
Awesome.
Ellie, thank you so much. It's lovely to talk to you. It's great to see you again. And the last time I saw you, you were tearing up Anzac Road when I was pulling down the course at relapse. You had your dog. Yeah. Where's Tucker, by the way? Where is the dog?
Tucker's in his crate at the moment, having a sleep.
What,
he's very upset with me for not taking him running this week.
Yeah, no, they do.
They don't understand recovery.
But we will both see you at the Woo, I understand.
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, cool. So Tucker and I will be there.
Oh, awesome.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Are you running it?
No, I have a couple of options of what I will be doing. I'll either be pacing or tailing Charlie the 62.
Awesome. Nice one. Oh, look forward to seeing you
then.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I apologise for the shocking non-intended pun.
I liked how I realised where I was going and then I stopped.
Looked at me. I saw you look at me and I could see in the Zoom screen you looking at me.
Mm.
And then Ellie looked at me.
Yeah.
And I just...
And you just thought, hey, you stopped driving. I better carry on.
Yeah. I just... Oh, is that a brick wall? Oh, yeah. Sweet ass. Sorry.
No. It was good. What a chat. A great chat. And inspired me to be a bit more adventurous.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't think I'll be going into the hectic conditions that they do, those two.
Up to Riverhead Trig.
I know. But it's about time. It's about time. Anyway.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're on Dirt Church. No, we're not. We're on social media at Dirt Church Radio. You can email us at dirtchurchradio@gmail.com. You can find us on all the podcast platforms. Like and subscribe if you fancy. And you can download direct from the website, which is dirtchurchradio.com.
please write in with your greatest run ever. We are getting a bit short, to be honest. We would love to hear from you, and people love hearing these greatest runs ever, and you can read the ones that have been sent in on our website.
Thanks to our sponsors, Scott Running for the faster spring energy, and Cieli. Thank you to our Patreon patrons and Wild Things. Thank you to our editor, Kieran. We've got a great show lined up for next week, so please tune in then. Ka kite.
Ka kite ana.
Thanks, Rigby.